Podcast in Manhattan, Kansas. Purple Project Podcast will return after this.
And push it up!
The Purple Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State Athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Much anticipated return to the weekly edition of the Purple Project Podcast, episode 50. We're finally here, folks. Eddie Greer III here in Manhattan, Kansas for the Purple Project Podcast, where we all talk about K-State athletics here on the back end of the second weekend of April. Recording this after Sunday Night Baseball, April 11th, 2021, here in Manhattan, Kansas. Before I bring on Alex real quick, you know what the deal is, folks. You can find our Purple Project Podcast wherever podcasts are found. Amazon, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and a couple more, including Radio.com, the Purple Project Podcast, turning 50 this week. This episode will be out tomorrow night. So be on the lookout for that. And we might be recording two episodes here this week as well. We'll see what the schedule holds on that. And we are supposed to have a special guest on this edition of the podcast. Not going to happen, folks, tonight due to our special guest coming back into town from work, being on the road for work. So that's kind of the reason there. We'll have to set it up some other time. But I do have my co-host on the other line. It's been a minute since we last recorded. It's been like probably like a week and a half or 2 weeks since we last recorded a weekly edition of the podcast. Let's bring on himself, none other than Alex Aiden over there out west in San Diego. Alex, what's going on, man?
Not too much, Eddie. You know, it's funny. We've come upon now our 50th episode. Here, and you mentioned it. Our special guest wasn't able to join us tonight, which is fun. He'll be able to come on another time and be able to shine some really good light onto some of the topics that we talk about. But for the 50th episode, it makes me think back to our first episode, our early episodes, which were last summer, late spring, Eddie, early summer, if I recall correctly, when we began this. And it was interesting because we were in the midst of, you know, really coming to grasps with COVID, and everybody was at home, and there were stay-at-home orders all over the country. And so we came up, and, you know, we did the, you know, you started some podcast. I joined you after you threw the idea out to me about a year ago. And then, you know, we've gone through a lot in 50 episodes. We obviously had the, you know, we've seen COVID for almost a year now. Through these first 50 episodes we've been on here, we went through some racial injustice movements over the summer that affected a lot of the K-State athletic programs. And that was something that we got to talk about. And we've gone through an entire football and basketball season now. So we have seen and we have discussed a lot of different topics. And it's just really interesting to be able to reflect upon that. We get to episode 50. We're still dealing with COVID, but we're close to hopefully, you know, hopefully being able to put that in the rearview mirror here in a matter of, not in the rearview mirror entirely, but at least in the point where we can, you know, go back to our normal lives and go back to the normal sports, kind of the normal sports lives, so to speak. Because when you and I picked this up, there were no sports. I mean, sports weren't happening.
No,
it was a different dynamic. You know, obviously, we've seen K-State football team, basketball team, the women's basketball team deal with COVID, but hopefully that the worst of that is behind us, and you know, we don't don't see anything like we did last spring and summer, but it's been a wild ride, Eddie. It's been a wild ride. For some reason, one memory that also pops into my head is, I think it was the second episode, I was about halfway late. I think I joined like halfway through the episode because my car had an issue, and I had to have my brother and my dad help me try to fix the problem with my car. And I just remember being so late to like our second podcast and jumping on like in the middle. Like I called you, you were halfway through, just jumped in, we went. And so I don't know why that number sticks in my head, but we've been through a lot, Eddie. So, you know, we're here to the 50th episode. I think that's a big accomplishment. And it's been fun to see this podcast grow over the years. Not over the years, hopefully grow over the months. All right, let me say that again. It's just fun to see the podcast grow over the months, and you know, I really think it's a big accomplishment to you and the work that you've done to be able to get it to episode 50 for the weekly podcasts, and then obviously the dailies that you have now that are really informative. You know, keeping people right up to date on the latest K-State sports news. So you know it's great to be able to jump on with you tonight and to be able to talk K-State sports for our 50th episode, and hopefully here before too long, Eddie, who knows, Eddie, maybe we'll be doing 100, and we're now.
Yeah, who knows,
I'm excited to jump into it and talk sports. The Royals won today in extra innings, so feeling pretty good, you know, and ready to talk K-State baseball, basketball, football, all of the above.
Yeah, I started the podcast back in May, so it's not over a year yet. Next month it will be. It's the exact year I have on here is May 19th, and then our first episode was the week after that, May 26th. Kind of talking about the great first year of Chris Kleiman. That came up to my memory about that.
And we were
being so excited about football season, and then everything just turned. A big 180 in the world with COVID and all other stuff like that. And so we've been through pretty much the ups and mostly downs with football and basketball. And baseball is going through some of a rough patch here. We'll get into that. But it's been quite the journey so far, up to 5-0 so far. Yep, and then deciding for me, I've been a little under the weather this past week, but getting started working the dailies a little bit, so that's been fun to do when I have a chance to do them. So definitely keeping people apprised, and definitely for sure, if you have not been able to join a train on the latest K-State podcast, the Pro Project podcast, you might want to do that here very soon, or I just say right now. So definitely it's been quite the journey, and we'll see. I mean, we're approaching May already. So, and we've ended the case. They just ended spring ball. So we're going to talk about that at the end of tonight's podcast. So definitely something to look forward to. And it was pretty, for me, a good sports week up to seeing the Braves taking 2 out of 3. I know we just lost 7-6 against Philadelphia. So, I mean, not too bad of a weekend. Could be worse, but hey, it was a good sports weekend overall. My driver won a day in NASCAR at Martinsville. It was good. So, I mean, can't ask for much better than that. So,
I just want to point out one other thing, too. And you mentioned NASCAR. By the way, crazy sports weekend with. You know, you mentioned NASCAR and the races, which I believe were in Martinsville, if I recall correctly. Am I right on that idea? It was Martinsville?
Yeah,
Martinsville. So, you had the race down there at Martinsville. You had the Masters going on. You had a weekend of slated full of baseball. And so, it was there was a lot going on. There really was a lot. And a weekend also slated with NBA. So, there was a lot with our first weekend post NCAA tournament going on, and it was fun to be able to kind of, you know, dive into all of that. But I also want to mention, with the podcast, we couldn't have started it at the as, you know, crazy time when sports weren't going on. I mean, you know, you started this thing when there were no sports. And so, you know, you and I jumped on the first few episodes and we're just talking, you know, just talking about everything we can, best way we can, in sports with nothing going on. I think the first sport to come back was baseball, MLB, in July. And so, you know, the first couple months, you know, we're just kind of winging it, or a month and a half there, and just kind of trying to look ahead to K-State sports. We were breaking down K-State funding and all these different things, and cutting athletic programs. It was wild. It was a wild time. It was a wild time to begin a podcast. But one other thing, and you know, we may get into it, basketball. And I just want to congratulate Baylor as well for repping the Big 12, getting the NCAA tournament win. And I was happy for Baylor. I was happy for the Big 12. I was obviously happy because I picked them beating Gonzaga as my bracket too. But and no one else, everyone thought Gonzaga was going to win it. And I thought all year Baylor looked like the better team. But I was in the minority, so I'm glad I ended up being right at the end of the year. But I just want to give them congratulations too for what they did, because they had a tremendous season, and they had a hell of a team. And to see them come out and dominate in the NCAA tournament, the closest game they played was a 9-point game. You know, kudos to them. You know, hopefully, you know, K-State can kind of look and see what Baylor did this year, and you know, maybe it's something for them to, you know, maybe that's a program and a season that they could kind of, you know, strive to be and strive to be like. And so, you know, maybe it sets an example for them. I know Bruce looks up to it, Scott Drew does there at Baylor. So, you know, it'll be eager to see. But congratulations to them for repping the Big 12 and getting the NCAA tournament title.
Yeah, and you stole my thunder on that. I'll go back to that here in a second.
I did that on purpose, Eddie. I knew you were going to mention it, so I got to beat him to the punch. Got to beat him to the punch.
And
no, I'm kidding. I did not mean to do that, Eddie.
and it's all right. No worries there. We'll definitely touch on that here very shortly. I do want to give... Okay, I do want to go to women's basketball here before going to Baylor. Stanford's women's team in basketball. Winning the national championship in a great game against, Arizona. Arizona, the third seed, which nobody gave them a lot of hope or credit to get to the national championship game and all that. Little dispute there, but Stanford, listening to Kara Vandermeer in their interesting journey through this COVID year, this past year, and how they operated. They traveled all over the place, to make sure their team was good to go each and every time they took to the court. And man, that was a good game. Second half of the game went right down to where both games for Stanford went down to the wire, and they escaped South Carolina in the semifinal. And then there, Arizona trying to make one last gasp there, could not execute, and Stanford comes out winning national title there. So I wanted to give Stanford a little shout out on the Pro Project podcast there on that. And yeah, Baylor, which goes into Baylor. Yeah, Alex, they just looked... In going back to that national title game, they just looked it in another gear. They're clearly the better team. They were like, they were two steps ahead of Gonzaga really the entire night. And Gonzaga, they just look kind of tired after their thriller against UCLA in probably one of the classic basketball games you're ever going to see. So,
unbelievable
game there, which... UCLA tied it with a layup, and then basically on almost half quarter three by one of the best players. I don't know don't have the name on top of my head right now, but
Suggs.
Yep, Sutton Suggs. Yep. So that was a crazy game there. I thought for sure that was going to go into double overtime, but Suggs had other ideas there. And as you know, March. That we definitely saw the madness back in, and also we didn't see a tournament in last year. So brought back a lot of fun memories and the upsets that we saw throughout the NCAA tournament for both men and women there. So yeah, but Baylor with their three stud players, Mitchell, Butler, and T. Yeah, and then you hate. Not only that, you got to deal with their bench too. I mean, they're just a complete team all year. We saw it. And who knows, they might have been undefeated if you don't bring in the COVID factor, which we talked about on the Purple Project podcast in the past episodes. So you see what I see there.
That truly is what ruined their undefeated season.
Yep. And definitely. So Baylor, congratulations to them, fellow Big 12 team, college team, for getting the national championship. And a lot of other stuff has happened in the Big 12 in basketball. Alex, Chris Beard is not staying at Tech. He is going to the rival Texas. Austin going back up north and staying in the conference. And not only that, staying in state. That's got to be a bummer for Texas Tech fans. Like I've heard on the sports talk radio here in Manhattan, the game here in Cayman, for those of you who don't know that, hosted by John Kurtz and Mitch Forner. That's been a heavy discussion over the past few days. And then Shaka Smart going back to the Big East Marquette, which was interesting there. So, yeah, Chris Beard appeared that he had keys to the kingdom down there at Texas Tech. Obviously, he led Tech to the national championship game a couple of years ago, Alex, there. And now, jumping ship, going to Texas there. Shaka Smart now going to Marquette there after Texas getting bounced, upset in the first round. And that, in which that was a great game itself there that Texas got upset, which I didn't do a bracket, but I knew one of those teams was going to get upset there. So, but what are your thoughts on Chris Beard going to Texas and Shaka Smart's move going back to the Big East, and then another former Tech player is hitting the transfer portal? Just when I was getting ready to go downstairs and prepare, I think it's Matt McClung, if I'm right on that, is the third Tech player now to hit the transfer portal, but he's also considering considering the NBA draft, was interesting there. But what are your thoughts on those moves there?
Yeah, well, first off, with the transfers of Texas Tech, I don't think that's a surprise, because you know you lose a coach that recruited you, and you look at how easy it is for players to transfer today. You know, with the transfer portal, you know, no surprise that's going to happen. I think Tech's probably going to take a big step back next year, just because guys transferring out, and you lose Coach Beard, bring in a new guy, you're going to have a new group buy into the philosophy, and that guy's going to have to recruit his guys. So really hard to see Texas Tech maintain what they've done the last few years in my eyes. You know, moving forward, we'll see. But, you know, Chris Beard really set the tone there. He's what made them kind of what they've been. I mean, they did have all nine. They did have some his son, Pat, I believe, coached there as well. But, you know, it just wasn't, they weren't at the level that they were under Coach Beard. You know, Coach Beard really put them on the national map in this recent time frame anyway, and really kind of established their identity and what we know them for, which is a team that plays defense as good as anybody and is as gritty as any team, and they just suffocate you, you know, and they make it difficult. They make life difficult in every facet of the game. And so it's going to be tough for Tech, in my opinion, in the near future anyway, but we'll see what happens for them long term. I just want to mention, too, while thinking about the national championship, I thought it was so funny. You mentioned Texas Tech, and it made me think of this. It's so funny to me how many KU players and KU fans came out when Baylor won the national championship and said, if it weren't for COVID, the Big 12 would have back-to-back titled national championship titles. And, you know, that's just the most KU thing ever, Eddie, because it's KU fans to just try to claim a title the year that the NCAA tournament wasn't even played. And former KU players are to claim the title, the season wasn't even played. Like, pump your brakes over there. And, you know, KU would have been a one seed, but it's just so KU, most KU thing ever. So, like, just shut up. Everybody who was with KU, just shut up. You know, you haven't won one since 08. It's been 13 years. Suck it up. Okay, maybe you're not the blue blood that you thought you were. Okay, right, Eddie?
Yeah. They have their own issues right now. Yep, they have their own issues.
They did sign Bill Self to a lifetime contract, though, so I guess good for him. Although I know that they did that just because their recruiting is hurting because of the investigation. So they figure if we lock Bill Self in to a lifetime contract, that'll help us with our recruiting. Come on, man. I saw through that from a mile away. I had to get my KU frustration out. But getting back to Texas and Texas Tech, to go to Shaka Smart now, big head scratcher for me. to say the least. Eddie, I feel like to go to Marquette, I believe he's up there. I believe he's from up in the north area somewhere, but I can't quite figure out why he would go to Marquette. The only thing that I can figure is if Texas kind of, because we know Texas, we've talked about this before, Eddie, they're not a patient school. They think that they're the best program in football and basketball, and if you don't win national championships, you're gone. And that's just kind of the Texas way. And quite frankly, in my opinion, they set a higher bar than they really are worse than both football and basketball. But not, I won't go there. But point being, their coaches have short leases. I think it's fair to say that. And although Rick Barnes was there for a really long time, we know that Rick Barnes was there for a really long time. But Rick Barnes is a hell of a coach. You know, we all know what he's capable of doing. But with Shaka Smart, part of me wonders, after they lost Abilene Christian, if the Texas administrators didn't go to him and say, hey, we want to go a new direction, but instead of firing you, hey, maybe you go see what's out there, you know, hey, we hear there's a job opportunity, you probably should go take it, wink, wink. Like, I just wonder if that happened, because I can't understand why Shaka Smart would jump from Texas a year after Texas got the 2 seed, or was it the 2 or 3 seed? I can't remember which seed it was, but they get the 2 or the 3 seed.
I want to say 3 seed.
I think it might be the 3 seed.
3 seed, yep.
The 3 seed, you win the Big 12 tournament, you're one of the best teams in the Big 12, you're a top 10 team for much of the year, and then you leave and you go to Marquette after that, after you've built your foundation at Texas. I understand that he lost that one, Christian, but look, Eddie, blank happens. You know what I mean? It happens sometimes, and it happens. We know Shaka Smart can win an NCAA tournament. He took VCU to the Final Four, so I don't think there's a question about whether he can win an NCAA tournament. I think Abilene Christian got him. I think that's just really all there is to it, but the only thing I can figure in my mind is that Texas kind of forced him out, and they had their eye on Chris Beard because they said, we know we can get him. We'd rather have him than Shaka Smart. He's a Texas alum. We see what he's doing at Texas Tech. He took them to a national championship 2 years ago. He's won the Big 12 with them. We want him. And
that sounds familiar. Tom Herman.
Yes, exactly the same. And so it's my point, Eddie. That's exactly my point. Texas has done things like this before, and while there was nothing out there publicly, it to me that makes the most sense, that Texas was like, we want this guy, and you know, hey, we know that there's some offers for you, there's some interest for you, maybe you should just go ahead and go after one of those, because we're going to end up letting you go if you don't. And so, you know, to save face, they let him just go to Marquette and get hired. I mean, to me, that personally is what I feel like happened. I could be wrong. And if it wasn't that, then the second thing that would come to my mind is that Shaka Smart couldn't take the pressure. He couldn't take the pressure of being at a big boy program like Texas. I mean, if Texas truly didn't, you know, plan on bringing him back, The only way I could fathom, I know he's from there, but the only way that I could fathom him leaving Texas, a Big 12 powerhouse, a team that he just built, spent years building, and he's finally got them to that point at a dominant, I shouldn't call it a dominant basketball program, but definitely a big-time basketball program at a big-time university. For you to go there to Marquette, that seems like a coach that would, that couldn't take the pressure. A coach that couldn't handle the heat. A coach that couldn't, he couldn't handle it. That's really the only way I can put it. And if that is indeed the case, and that's good for Texas, because you don't want a coach in there who's gonna shy away from the pressure, who's gonna shy away from the limelight. That's not what you want. When you're at Texas, you can't have that in your coaches. You need coaches that are going to embrace that, that are going to embrace those challenges, that are going to embrace the big expectations, like Chris Beard, I'm sure, will there. And so if that is what happens, good for Texas. And to be 100% honest, I would think less of Shaka Smart. I really would. And why did you go there in the first place? Why did you chase trying to build something at Texas if you're going to just dip out on your players? We talk about players leaving their team, their coaches and teams all the time, but if Shaka Smart dipped out on his players like that just because he couldn't take the pressure just to go up to Marquette, then, that's not something that I think is a cool deal. So I think one of those two happened. I'm not sure. I feel like Texas probably forced him out, but if they didn't, then I think Shaka just couldn't take the pressure, especially after that loss to Abilene Christian in the first round of the NCAA tournament. But either way, I think it was good for Texas because I think that they do have the better coach. No offense to Shaka Smart, I do think he is a really good coach, but Chris Beard is a beast, man. He knows how to recruit. He knows how to coach. As I just mentioned, he embraces the challenge. He embraces the expectations. He embraces all of that. And he wants to do it his way. And that's a great get for Texas. You get an alum in the building. You get somebody who's going to get after players, someone who's going to hold them accountable. And if you don't buy in, you can leave. That is his way. I love the way that Chris Beard coaches. And I think it's going to be good for Texas. And I think that that's going to be really scary for the Big 12. Because I think Texas has the potential under Chris Beard to really turn into a powerhouse, and the powerhouse that we saw them as at times under Rick Barnes, at Rick Barnes' highlight years there at Texas. So, I definitely think that they have the potential to kind of get back to that point. I would be surprised if Chris Beard couldn't do it at Texas, because you're at Texas Tech, where it's harder to recruit and you have less resources, and now you're at Texas, where it's going to be easier to recruit and you have more resources. And I think that he is really set up to succeed there. I think Texas is really set up to succeed, and I understand why they'd want him if they thought that they could get him. Now, what Chris Beard needs to be careful of, and we've talked about this with Texas before, they have short leashes, they have some unrealistic expectations at times. So it might be a short trigger for him. They may expect him to come in and win immediately. It doesn't necessarily happen like that. It happened like that for Bruce Weber at K-State, but that's not how it happens for every single team. So we'll just have to see what happens. But, I think it was a good move for Texas. In regards to Chris Beard and Texas Tech, there's so many connections to this, Eddie. There's just so many moving parts with this whole story. But with Texas Tech, I feel like Chris Beard kind of screwed Texas Tech a little bit. I think that it sounds like he didn't give them a fair shake to, once he got the Texas offer, he didn't at least hear them out and see what they were going to offer back. It kind of seemed like he said, peace out, I'm out of here. it seemed like a bunch of players were quite irritated over that when he'd been preaching the Texas Tech way over the last few years, and that for him to just dip out like that did not sit right with a lot of the players. Totally understand that. And one of my better friends is an alum from Texas Tech, was actually a cheerleader there back when we were in college, and she definitely felt backstep. by the Chris Beard Group. Once again, rightfully so. Understand it. It's different than when K-State lost to Bob Huggins or Frank Martin, in my opinion. Because when Bob Huggins left, he went to West Virginia. That's where he was from. He was going home. It seemed like the perfect fit. It was better program than K-State. You understood it. I understood why Bob Huggins left to go to West Virginia. It sucked, but I understood it. Frank Martin, you understood why he went to South Carolina. John Curry shoved him out the door.
Yeah.
You know, John Curry said, get the hell out of here. I don't want you. And that's the end of that. And we know that was not terribly popular within the K-State circles, but... John Curry for you. So, you know, he pretty much shoved Frank Martin out the door. Frank Martin said, you know what, I'm not going to touch the 10-foot pole. You know, whoever the hell wants me, come get me. So, once again, that was also a little bit of a different deal. Didn't feel like K-State was getting stabbed in the back there. He really got forced out by the athletic director, in my opinion. So, with Chris Beard, that was not the deal at all. He had a university that was willing to, based on what they said publicly, was willing to match what Texas was offering him, was willing to match the resources, match the compensation, match all of these things, and give him everything he needed to continue to build this thing the Texas Tech way. And he just turned his shoulder on him and said, peace out. I don't even want to hear it. And I understand how that would sit wrong with Texas Tech alums, players, staff, boosters, administrators. Man, if that's the way it went by, I might have lost just a tad of respect for Chris Beard as well. Because I understand going to Texas, I understand going to your alma mater, but to not even hear them out and to just leave them in the dust like that is not cool, Eddie. So I understand that's a tough pill to swallow, but man, it really hurts Texas Tech because he's going to Texas, so he's going to an in-state rival. He's going to a school in the conference. You're going to have to face him twice a year. Oh, that hurts for Tech. That hurts for Tech. So, once again, that's another reason why it's different than K-State losing Bob Huggins or Frank Martin. Neither one of them was in the Big 12 conference when that happened or was an in-state rival. So, a lot of moving parts in that coaching carousel. But I think that the winners are going to end up being Texas and Marquette, and the losers are going to end up being Texas Tech. So, we'll see what happens. But there's no doubt that the look of the Big 12 in the state of Texas is going to be much different in the 2021-2022 season.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Alex Aiden, Eddie Greer, couple of K-State alums, watching Wildcat 91.9, the student radio station at K-State alum, the Purple Project Podcast. And yeah, we're going to put a pin on that discussion. Yeah, it's interesting parts, as you said there, in that little summary there of yours. But yeah, that's for sure. So, but yeah, Texas, I agree, definitely agree on that. Marquette, I'm going to hold out that comment until the basketball season rolls around there. So, yeah, interesting stuff there. Yeah, I definitely would agree with the players there. I would definitely be pissed if my coach decided to dip out and go somewhere else without consulting us or the administration and everything else. So yeah, strange deal there. This wouldn't be the Pro Project Podcast without talking about K-State Athletics, which is going to transition into right now. So I'm going to say Dejuan Gordon here after we talk about K-State baseball and tennis, which K-State, speaking of Texas, actually, this is a good transition of Texas. And the tennis team got shut out 7-0 against the second-ranked team in the tennis rankings there. So K-State had their struggles there. Now I'm there. And then, of course, which leads me to K-State baseball, Alex. So,
yep.
Man, a shaky start for the baseball team, and there was a lot of excitement surrounding this team, obviously. I mean, due to the struggles, basketball and football being up and down, as we covered on the Purple Project Podcast, like we talked about. There's been a lot of stuff going on in the last, now 50 episodes of the podcast. You can add K-State baseball to the mix, getting swept by the number 3 team in the nation in baseball. They lost today, 9-2, got absolutely spanked yesterday, 15-1, and then Friday, opening game of the 3-game set, you lead, you pretty much hang with the top 3 team in the country there. You lead going into the bottom of the 8th inning, 6-5, and you know very well, as I do, Alex, here about baseball. Baseball's a weird game. Baseball, especially college, especially with the momentum, like football, momentum is a crazy game sport, and you're up 6-5 going into the bottom of the 8th. You actually take the lead, if I'm not mistaken, there, 6-5 there, and then you put up and you allow the Longhorns, probably one of the better teams in the conference, an 8th spot in the 8th inning. Not going to get it done. You lose 13-6 in that one. So K-State in their 3 conference series. Let's see, I'm going to switch screens here for a second here on my laptop. But yeah, in their first 2-3 series, conference series, you get swept. Not a good start. Not a good start for the baseball team. And now, K-State, conference-wise, you sit. Where have we been talking about sports here on the podcast here the last 50? We've been even talking about K-State, either somewhere right there in the conference, right there in the mix, where football was before finishing in the bottom half of the league. Basketball just got done. Bruce Weber finishing once again bottom of the league, and the K-State women, after underperforming expectations, they finished bottom of the league. And you know where I'm going with this, Cats fans. K-State is right now the bottom of the league right now, tied actually with guess who? KU, 2-7 right now, bottom of the league, and the record after their being swept for the second straight conference series. They're now 17-14, Alex. And they have a 2-game set coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday. Alex, what do you think of the series here? I mean, we knew going in. I mean, we talked about last time that we got together on the podcast about Texas Tech and how they needed to get at least one. Well, they got 2 or 3, which was huge. I mean, that was big. That was big for their confidence going in there. They did it here in Twin Family Stadium, where I'm at, Manhattan King. Well, I'm not living there, but you guys know what I mean. But and then you turn around and you just kind of lay kind of an egg a little bit. I mean, that first game right there, you get that game. You build some more confidence in there. But obviously, Texas is too good of a team to make mistakes. Texas is leading the Big 12 right now at 10-2. Their overall record after their sweep of K-State today, Alex, 25-8.
Exactly, and you know, I mentioned this last time that we were on the podcast that K-State was really a kind of an odd position because their Big 12 schedule was just so brutal to begin the season. And you know, they obviously opened up on the road against Oklahoma State. And that was a series where they got swept. As you and I talked about on the podcast at the time, though, they had moments. They had a chance in a couple of those games against Oklahoma State. They couldn't be able to make the move I guess a final push, you could say, to get at least one of those games there. And so you play the 13 team in the country on the road. And then you come back home and you play the number three team in the country at home in Texas Tech. And then you just went on the road to the now number three team in the country, Texas Longhorns. So K-State literally played the three toughest teams in the Big 12 to open up their Big 12 slate. And two of the three were on the road. Two of the three series were on the road. And you and I have talked about this. K-State is much better at home than they are on the road. So far, they are 0-6 on the road in Big 12 play, and they are 2-1 at home. And if you take an even closer dive into the splits, they are 12-4 at home and 1-8 on the road. So clearly, they are better at Toyton Family Stadium. So really getting back to it, Eddie, the point. First of all, I want to take credit. I said, hey, guys, I know this is crazy, but they've got to find a way to get 2-3 against Tech at home. You know, that Texas series doesn't look good for them. I understand Tech's a top-5 team, but you know what? Screw it. You know, okay, there's high expectations of this K-State team. They need to find a way to get 2-3 at home. I know it's asking a lot, but you know what? If they want to live up to these expectations, they need to win that series. And they did. It was a phenomenal series win for them. And they did had a great series. And then coming off of that series, they just blew out Arkansas Pine Bluff in two games, 12-2, 12-0. You had a score of 24-2. So, I mean, they were rolling. They were rolling going into their series against Texas. And they carried into game one, Eddie. They did. You mentioned it. They were down 5-4. They got two-run triple that put them up 6-5 there in the eighth. And they really gave Texas a good punch, but then Texas scored 7 in the bottom of the eighth. That did it there, and K-State could never get back on track. It was 15-1, and it was 9-2. That was their moment. That was their moment Friday against Texas. It was very similar to Oklahoma State. They came out and they punched Oklahoma State really well. In a close game, Oklahoma State scored like 10 runs late in that game and ended up winning it 14-5. So it was really similar to game one against Texas. But I'm still not going to look too much into it, Eddie, just because K-State's schedule has been so brutal. I did a little digging before the podcast into their upcoming Big 12 opponents. And they've got three against Oklahoma at home. Oklahoma has a losing Big 12 record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've got three against West Virginia at home. West Virginia's got a losing Big 12 record. They've got three at Baylor. Baylor's got a losing Big 12 record. And then they've got three at KU. And KU currently has a losing Big 12 record.
Like I mentioned,
They'll wrap it up against TCU at home. And TCU is 7-2 right now in Big 12 play, so that they are off to a good start. But moral of the story, K-State's Big 12 schedule gets much, much easier down the road. They've got that difficult series against TCU, but I think for them, this is the big thing, Eddie. This is it. We mentioned that they played, it was six, they opened two of those first three series on the road, and they played, what was it, seven or eight or nine road games here in the span of a few weeks. Well, now they're coming home for two against Northern Colorado, three against Oklahoma, three against West Virginia, one against Missouri, and three against Texas Southern. K-State is not back on the road until May 7th. So they have got a chance for a lot of home cooking, and they are also playing some teams that are not good. Their next two games are against Northern Colorado. Their record is not good at all right now. I believe they're like 10 or 11 games below 500. And then they've also got three against Texas Southern at home. That's squeezed in there. Texas Southern is also 10 or 11 games below 500. So those are games that K-State should get. And hopefully, in these next two series against Oklahoma and West Virginia, K-State can win both the series. Maybe they can get a sweep, but I'm not going to ask for too much. I'm just going to add if they can get a couple series wins against Oklahoma and West Virginia, and they can take their games against Northern Colorado and Texas Southern. And then they also got a game against Missouri squeezed in there as well. I think that they can prepare for a stretch run that against Baylor, KU, and TCU. But this is it, Eddie. I give them the pass for what happened. But this is where it's time to turn it up. This is where it's time to turn it up. It's time to turn it up. You need to win both your games against Northern Colorado. You need to win the series against Oklahoma. You need to win the series against West Virginia. Anything less than a series win in any series before their road trip in May is a failure, in my opinion. I mentioned it. They had big expectations coming into this season, and they had a good season. I actually do think that they've had a good season. I think that the record is a little deceiving, but they've got to prove it. They've got to come out now, Eddie. They've got to prove it, and they've got to prove that Big 12 record. And they dug themselves in a hole, and I had a feeling that was going to happen. But now they can dig themselves back out, and this is their chance to do it. And if they can find a way to, kind of eat, so to speak, here and the rest of the month of April on a favorable schedule, then they can set themselves up to be able to make a push in May and potentially finish the top half of the conference. But this is where it starts. This is where it starts. You've got to find a way to get to two games against Northern Colorado and then get those two series wins and then win all your games against Texas Southern and see if you can steal one against Mizzou. So I know it's asking for a lot, but you kind of put yourself in that position when you start the 2-7 in conference play. So we'll see what happens. But the good news is they do have a schedule that is much more favorable, and they're playing them at home. And if you look at their schedule to date, they have beaten teams that they're supposed to beat pretty much the entire season, and they've won most of their games at Deutsch Family Stadium. So if the season prior is any indication, they should be able to win a lot of baseball games here moving forward. But we'll just see. We'll just see what happens, and hopefully they can, like I said, get these two against Northern Colorado, which will be Tuesday and Wednesday, and then they'll start against Oklahoma this upcoming Friday.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Absolutely, yeah. Big series coming up. For KC, yeah, they're not on the road. That's an interesting stat right there that you just put out in the Purple Project Podcast, Alex. K-State baseball team that we're still talking about, folks, won't be on the road until May, until basically the second week of May. Man, so K-State, they have an opportunity now. Obviously, looking at where at these rest of these teams, conference-wise anyways, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that including K-State, 5 teams under 500 right now. Tech is close with 5-4, but then you have, obviously, Texas standing out. TCU is second. Oklahoma State is sitting third. So, yep, like Alex mentioned, folks, next time K-State hits the diamond, it will be here at Twin Family Stadium against Northern Colorado for a little two-game series beginning 6 o'clock on Tuesday. And, of course, it will end on Wednesday. We might be recording that day as well for episode 51. We kind of put a finishing touches on K-State being swept by Texas here. Score today's game was 9-2 in this game here. K-State, Nick Goodwin hit, one of his hits was a double, and then Zach Kosolaska was rolled with that, went deep for K-State in this one, and of course he had an RBI in this one as well. Of course, Nick Goodwin and Zach Kosolaska had the runs for K-State in this one. Connor McCullough, who I mentioned on his podcast a couple of times when talking baseball, it gets charged for the loss, and now goes to 2-2 on the year. Colby Kubicek went to 4-2, the starting pitcher for Texas. And again, folks, for those of you who are interested in going out to Toyota Family Stadium, that's going to be Tuesday night coming up, 6 p.m. Catch that game on Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus.
ESPN Plus.
Yep.
$5 a month.
Like we talked about the last episode of the podcast, I believe. There we go. Get our ESPN Plus plug on. And, of course, you can find the coverage on K-Man right here. If you guys are living here in Manhattan or not able to catch it online at K-Man or in the car, wherever you're at, John Kurtz, Matt Walters, or Brian Small will be on the call for those games here, Twinton Family Stadium. So, yeah, Big 12 now. You can catch it there or catch it on K-Man. So, yep, a little baseball here on the Pro Project Podcast, episode 50. So, and now we're going, if I can find the right screen here. Okay, yeah, there we go. All right, so now we're going to shift gears to football now, and we were supposed to have on our special guest. Of course, he wasn't able to make it tonight. It'll be another time. We will have him on at some other time in the second half of the 50 stretch here. But anyways, we're going to go to football now. As I mentioned at the top of the podcast, they just wrapped up spring ball practice, and I got a little notes here. Take a little couple of things that we didn't talk defense a little bit. That was, and we were supposed to talk about that. I was set up last week, I believe, and then things got moved around, and then again this week, and then I got hit with a stomach bug, so everything got moved around. But anyways, there. But hey, by the way, actually, I believe it was either last weekend or the weekend prior. Shout out to the people. To the folks who went to the open practice that Chris Klieman and K-State football team had, quite the showing out there. A couple players made some headlines. Obviously, Skylar Thompson, Will Howard, Alex, who we talked about constantly and will continue to discuss on the podcast, continuing to get better. Obviously, Skylar Thompson competed in 7-on-7 drills during this session of spring ball. So everything's kind of progressing there as well. And then, by the way, I should say, another promo, shameless plug, I should say, I kind of ran into some little promos here over the last couple of days. Tickets, actually, we talked about COVID, Alex, on top of the podcast. Well, tickets are on sale now for football and basketball for the upcoming football home schedule season for football and basketball. I'm not going to talk about basketball yet, obviously. Football, obviously, and I'm obviously taking out the Arlington showdown against Stanford for the first game for K-State coming up in September, which obviously that's going to be much anticipated down there in Arlington, Texas, in Jerry's World. The home schedule outside of that begins September 11th against Southern Illinois. Just kind of recap the home schedule, not the whole schedule, but the home schedule for those of you who've been who forgot or been not know what's going on. They get Nevada, OU, Iowa State. Obviously, going back to OU, we've beaten them two times in a row. Iowa State, TCU, West Virginia, Baylor. That is the Bill Steiner Family Stadium home schedule for K-State in 2021. So definitely want to put that out there on the podcast tonight. Tickets are on sale now for football. Now, I don't know. Obviously, that has not come out with any capacity or the tailgate situation. I got a lot of people, some people have already come up to me and asked about that. I do not know that information at this time, but if I do, I'll share that with you in person or on the Purple Project podcast. So I got that going on there. So a lot of people are just wondering, are we going to get tailgating? So that's kind of the big question. Obviously, that's big. Obviously, we talked about that in the early beginnings of the Purple Project podcast.
I was just thinking about that. Podcast talking about tailgating and the dynamics of tailgating and all the surfaces you're touching and what
So definitely people are anxious to get the word about that. We hope to know something. I would probably guess around summertime, maybe sooner, but at least in the summer, door rooms of the hot summers here in Manhattan, Kansas. We should know more about that entire info. We'll get that to you as soon as we know some. Y'all will know something, or you guys will already know something when that news comes out as well. But obviously, Alex, the defensive side of the ball, a name that's been popping up really before he got to campus, and now he's on campus. And I thought I might have seen him walk around when I was actually on the veneer side of the football complex the other day for work, actually. Nate Matlack, Alex, has been making some headlines. He made the play on the defensive play of the day there, going into coverage and picking the – I can't remember who was the quarterback at this time, but he made – he picked off a K-State quarterback there, and everybody several K-State alum and Council fans kind of made some impressions there of Nate Matlack. So he's been kind of the lead dog for this incoming recruiting class here for K-State and Chris Klieman. So definitely want that name. Y'all want to keep that in mind, K-State Nation. That's the name you want to keep on as well. So I kind of want to go back to the offense. I know we talk about a lot of offense, and we're just going to stay on this side of the ball. Obviously, the four-star recruit Jake Rubley is behind the eight ball when it comes to learning a little bit. I think we talked about this a little bit, and he still is, so he's behind. So it's going to take him a while to learn and get caught up a little bit on the speed of the game from high school to college. That's been the popular transition, especially, I mean, it all varies, but, I mean, it might be different for some athletes. Like the ACC, SEC is different from the Big 12, especially for K-State, the way that they recruit, Alex. So, I mean, it's way. I mean, you talked about it probably in the last episode too, a little bit, either episode 49 or 48. One of those episodes, you talked about Rubley. He's behind the eight ball, and we've already predicted that somebody's going to transfer out, and I'm sticking with that, you know. So, and Jaron Lewis has been coming up in the news quite frequently too. So he's mixing it up a little bit. So this quarterback situation, Alex, is getting very interesting after spring practice wrapping up.
It definitely is. And quickly, I want to touch on the defense. I just want to throw one note out that Chris Klieman said in his press conference after once spring practice concluded. He said that says K-State defensive end Felix Anuki. I don't know how you say it, Eddie. Anuki, maybe? Anuki. I'm going to go with Anuki. And we'll just roll with that. You know, I just wish they all had last names that were easier to pronounce. I'm a hypocrite because my last name is impossible to pronounce, but my goodness, I'm so bad at pronouncing K-State athletes' names. But anyway, Chris Klieman said that Felix Anuki, which is what I'm going to go with, was probably the biggest surprise of the spring on defense. So that was also another interesting note to me that came out of the spring ball. But flipping over to the quarterback position, there's no doubt that is where a lot of the headlines are. You know, Chris Klieman says he feels really good about their quarterback room after the spring. He thinks that they have a ton of depth there. He thinks it's probably one of their deepest positions, one of their strongest positions. And I totally understand why he would say that. And looking at what he said, he seems happy with where Schuyler's at. Schuyler seems to be out of schedule, which is good. And so he should be ready to roll once the season gets here. Will Howard, I've heard tons of people tweet it. I've heard multiple coaches say it. that he has showed tons of growth and that he is so much more mature now. He has a lot better decision-making now. He's a lot better runner now. And they're raving about Will Howard. And I would be stunned, Eddie. I would be stunned if he is not the number two guy behind Skylar Thompson. When Skylar announced he was going to come back, you and I were on this podcast on some episode. And we said, how the hell is this thing going to shake out? Like, some people were saying there could be a quarterback, battle. There could be this. There could be that. You just mentioned it. Guys transferring out. Like, what the heck's going to happen? Who's going to start where? We don't know anything. And I think that we're beginning to see that come to form. I think that we can obviously put to bed any rumors of anybody starting aside from Skylar Thompson. He's your dude. He's going. Put it to bed. No way. No how. He's not the starting guy. Based on what I've heard, based on what many people have seen, really hard for me to see Will Howard not being the number two guy. The way that they've raved about him and his growth and his progression and what he can do, I really believe that he's your number two guy. And you and I touched on this a couple podcasts ago, Eddie. I think there could be a possibility where there might be packages for Will Howard.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be him in to protect Skyler. And I think that could be good for K-State. Get some packages where he can come in on maybe some Wildcat looks. Maybe you could line them both up. And Will Howard's a good athlete. And so, you know, take advantage of that. And we know Skyler likes to run the ball, but if Will Howard has that ability, you can spare Skyler some hits, especially by the goal line, if you want to run the quarterback. Will Howard could be the way to go. The thing is, if you bring Will Howard in, you've got to be willing to throw it with him a little bit just because you got to keep the defense honest. You can't just have them think that he's going to run every play. But it could still be kind of like a Blake Bell situation at Oklahoma back in 2012, 2013, when Oklahoma had that with him. And then you mentioned Jaron Lewis. We've heard, once again, a lot of good things about him. He's got the best deep ball. Heard a bunch about his growth as a quarterback, about what he can do, about how he's maturing in this offense. And based on everything we've heard, I would be stunned if he's not the third string guy. And, you know, it's a potential to, you know, see some action if the quarterback would go down. And so the coaches seem really happy with him and with what he can do. And I would assume he's probably going to be your number three. And Jake Rubley, after the spring, Chris Kleiman said he is still excited about him. So I would take that as the game's probably still moving too fast for him. He's not there yet. And he's got a ways to go, but they're still excited about him and his future. I think we can put to bed all the rumors about people saying Jake Rubley should come in and start day one. That was ludicrous from the jump. It remains ludicrous today. He should not come in and start game one. That is just not realistic. He is a four-star recruit, but I think K-State's doing it right. There was rumor immediately when he got here that he was probably going to redshirt. I would assume
that might be the plan.
That he ends up redshirting. That Will Howard's your number two guy. Jaron Lewis is sitting there at number three. And I'm with you, Eddie. I do think someone's going to end up transferring, but I don't think, and I touched on this a little bit a few podcasts ago, but I was beginning to lean towards, I don't know if a quarterback's going to transfer this year. They might do it once Skyler leaves, and then there's actually a quarterback competition. Now I believe that even more, because I do think that Jake Rubel is going to redshirt. I do think Will Howard's going to have the number two gig. I do think there's a possibility that there could be some playing time for Will Howard in certain situations. We'll just have to see. And I think Jaron Lewis is going to hang around and think this coaching staff really likes me. Let's see what happens when Skyler leaves. You know, Skyler's the guy. These guys know that he's the guy. So I think that Lewis, Howard, Rubley, they're all going to hang around. They're all going to wait. Let's see what happens when Skyler leaves. Let's see what happens when there's a quarterback competition. And then, when K-State picks a guy, then I think you see somebody transfer after they say, well, I'm not just going to wait here and sit here and be a backup when I know I can start somewhere else. And that's just kind of part of the deal when you have a deep quarterback room. So that's what I'm leaning towards. That's what I think it's going to look like this year in the quarterback room. That's what I think about what's going to happen with the transfer situation. The truth of the matter is, you've got four good quarterbacks in that quarterback room. You're right, Eddie. you're not going to have all of them just sit there and spend their entire career at K-State. At some point, someone's going to leave. Someone's going to take their shot. That's just part of what happens with having a deep quarterback room. But it's a good situation for K-State because you want depth at the quarterback because that's the most important position on the offense. You want guys who can come in, who can execute your offense, and guys who can push your starters. You know, if Will Howard's out there spinning in practice, that's going to push Skylar Thompson. I'll use the Chiefs analogy. Alex Smith, he had the best season of his career the year after the Chiefs drafted Mahomes. He saw Mahomes spinning in practice every day. That pushed Alex Smith's game to the next level. The depth that the Chiefs built in their quarterback room elevated the play of their starter. If K-State can, if Jake Rubley, if Jaren Lewis, if Will Howard can come out and they can do things in practice that, I'm not going to say make Skylar uncomfortable, but, you know, he sees it and the players see it. That can help Skylar. That can help him elevate his game just that much more. And that could be a really good thing for K-State. And you obviously have that depth as well. So I think there's a lot of promise there at the quarterback position. I'm excited to see how that shakes out. I'm really excited to see Skylar Thompson back behind the helm again. And then just finally, I wanted to touch on wide receiver, and I hope I'm not jumping the gun here, Eddie. But I know Chris Feinman mentioned that he said that the K-State receiving core is still a work in progress. doesn't stun me, but he did say he's encouraged by what he saw from Keenan Garber, which echoes what we've heard, that Keenan Garber had a really good spring. He did a lot of good things. I really think we're going to see his role in this offense elevate to a whole new level this season. And then he also said that he is... he thinks Malik Knowles can be one of the best receivers in the Big 12 if he can stay healthy.
We've been saying that on the Purple Project podcast the entire time.
We've been saying that since the beginning. So you've got to take it with a grain of salt. But at least he's in a good place right now. We'll see what happens with Malik Knowles. And then the final thing with the wide receiving corps, which is really going to be the thing I think to watch out for here, is, and if I could find it, I had it up and I lost it, but there it is. But Kurt Warner's son, Cade Warner, who's a receiver, just transferred to K-State.
Yeah, yeah.
He is eligible immediately. So there is potential that Cade Warner, who was a receiver at Nebraska, that he could be thrown into the mix, and we could see him next year as well. So, Kurt Warner, son Cade Warner, he committed on April 5th to K-State, transferred from Nebraska, taking the drive down. Is that I-35 that runs to? I'm not sure if it's I-35 or not.
I don't think it's I-35.
So he would take the trip down, whatever the heck that highway is that runs actually down there. North, south. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on whatever highway. Point being, he's making the trip down to Manhattan.
That's the main thing. That's the main thing.
Lincoln. And that should help K-State because it gives them another body at receiver. It gives them more depth. And it gives them another guy. And honestly, I've made the analogy of the NFL draft before, but the more bodies you can throw at a position, the more guys with potential that you can throw in a position, the better chance you have at one of those guys hitting. And he's just another guy that you can throw with that receiving core, gives you a little more depth, and it just gives you another body. And maybe he hits, and maybe he ends up making an impact at K-State. Maybe he doesn't, but maybe he does. And look, it's also good publicity for K-State. You know, Kurt Warner's son playing in your program, you know, that's
a big deal.
So, kudos there. But it will be interesting to see if Cade Warner can get some play early on, especially since Chris Feinman mentions that receiving core is still a work in progress. So I would take that as there are probably still some positions up for grabs. And so he might be able to go up and grab one of them before the season starts. So that's something to watch too. But I think it was a good spring. And all in all, and I'm kind of eager to, not kind of, I am eager to see the way it shakes out, once they get back on the field in the dog days of summer.
Yeah, and I was going to to save more of the wide receiver running back talk for next week's episode, or the next episode of the Purple Project Podcast. But that little preview there, yeah, for some, that's interesting there with the whole coaching swap. The position coach there with, oh gosh, now I'm blinking. Oh man, I'm blanking. The offensive coordinator's coach. Oh, shame on me.
Yeah, Messingham.
Yeah, there you go. Messingham, now the wide receivers coach, and Jason Ray, now the fullbacks coach, or something like that. So, woo, yeah. So that's interesting. That is with a grain of salt, if you like Alex said. Eddie Greer, Alex A, and this is the Purple Project Podcast. We're going to wrap up 5-0 with the offensive line here that I want to discuss here before closing this thing down. Offensive line should be much more stronger, Alex, going into the fall, and they need to be. Let's face it, they had their issues last year. I mean, prior to that, we had a veteran offensive line, very good offensive line, and then you had your struggles last year. And let's just my K-State fans, going back to my other screen here, what I mean, their over last year's record 2020 football schedule, obviously, or standings actually. K-State starting the House of Fire, and then we talked about this on brief moments on the on recent episode of the podcast. Okay, we got excited 4-1 after the KU win there, and then you drop rest your games, you lose 5 in a row. That's not that hasn't happened in quite some time until last year. There you go
for it. I'll laugh at the rest of my life.
Yeah, got excited like, oh, we're gonna have a chance to get to the Big 12 championship,
we're
baby.
We were so set on it. We were convinced, even with the backup QB, it was a freshman. We thought we found the promised land.
And we spoke too soon, and the wheels come off against West Virginia, a.k.a. Neil Brown, 2-0 against Chris Kleiman. Had to bring that up, sorry.
He's a beast against Kleiman so far.
Yeah, so far. We'll see when we get to the fall how West Virginia is coming here to Manhattan. So we'll see what happens there. But the offensive line should be much more stronger, and we get a piece back. Noah Johnson, like I mentioned a while back on Triple P. That was huge for K-State. Noah Johnson, of course, for those of you who don't know, he was this past year center, and it's going to be the center again, getting an extra year. So you have the center of your offense pretty much set. If not a serious injury to happen between now and the K-State opener down Arlington. So you have Skylar Thompson, QB, Deuce Vaughn in the backfield. You have Noah Johnson right there. You're leading your squad out there on the offensive line. Connor Beebe, Christian Duffy, Josh Rivas, who underperformed last year. Tater Portier also on that line. And then you add in Katori Leviston, who was inconsistent as well last year. Dawson LaForge, you got some depth in the offensive line. So once again, that's probably another position along with the quarterback position, Alex, that K-State feels good in. And we've seen very good offensive line in the past, including whilst I was in school, Alex, as well as you as well. So that this is big going in to a little bit of break here and into the summer, and then getting yourself ready to go for the season.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I'm glad you actually brought up the offensive line, because we talked a lot last season about the offensive line is really the big question mark on this offense and what's going to happen there. And I really don't think that you have those same question marks going into this season. Now, looking back on K-State's offense, there clearly was more than one question mark. It was not just the offensive line. But the point of this is that I don't think that you're going to have those question marks on the offensive line this year, just because
you've got all your guys coming back. You know, for starters, they got really good time, got a lot of valuable experience, got a lot of good time on the offensive line last year. Handful of them had to play multiple positions on the line. And so they played in Big 12 play, multiple positions, multiple snaps, multiple games. And they got a lot of good experience. And to me, it actually did feel like, all in all, for as young as that K-State offensive line was, for as much shuffling they had to do, throwing the cards that they were dealt, I thought they actually handled it relatively well and got better throughout the season for the most part. And I thought they did a nice job. If you look at that first game to the last game, I think they did a nice job in their growth as an offensive line. And so now you're bringing this young line back. You've got guys coming back. You mentioned Noah Johnson at center. And you've got a group. They've been together for a year. They're going to have gone through an entire offseason program together. They've, you know, got a year under their belt, and there's a lot of potential. We mentioned this last year. There's a lot of potential on that line. So now I think you get to the point with this offensive line where I think it begins to become a strength. I really do. What used to be a question mark I think is going to begin to be a strength for K-State because they've got guys that are versatile. They've got guys that are maulers, guys that can block in different coverage schemes, guys that can block in different running schemes. And part of that is because of that versatility that I mentioned. And so now that they've got continuity, now that they've got a year under their belt, now that they've got all of that experience, they can really begin to make their name, kind of like this last group did, and, you know, protect Skyler. Open up holes for Deuce. Open up, hopefully, holes for Darcadia Wright. We'll have to see, but it does hear like sound like he had a really good spring, so hopefully he can come back to form like we were hoping. But ultimately, hopefully they can open more holes up and they can protect Skyler. You know, he Skyler gets taken out on a hit last year. You need an offensive line that can keep him clean, and so I think it's going to be important to find an offensive line that can do that. I think there's a good chance they'll be able to do it. So what was considered a weakness, I think, is quickly going to be shifted kind of the way it's viewed as into a strength. And the coaching staff has talked about how they're really encouraged about the offensive line and what they've done and their growth and how they think that they can be a really good unit for this team. So coaching staff seems to be happy. You still, once again, you also have to take what coaching staff say in the spring with a grain of salt because everything sounds good in the spring. Everything looks good in the spring. It's like training camp. You know, every team sounds like they're going to win the Super Bowl when season, you know, in training camp. They're feeling good, feeling great, they're feeling optimistic, and then the season hits. So we'll see once things roll around. But I do think that this offensive line will be much improved and be a strength of this offense by the end of the season. Now, I could be wrong. I could look like an idiot. But I do think that they are going to end up being one of K-State's better units. And they need to be, Eddie. They need to be. Because K-State can't do what they want to do offensively without that offensive line playing to their abilities. And that's just the truth. If K-State can't run the ball with Deuce Vaughn, if they can't get looks for him, for Darcadia Wright, for whoever might be running the football, if they can't get Skyler time, if they can't block on quarterback design runs, K-State's in big trouble. So, while I think that they will take a step forward, they need to take a step forward. Because if they don't, K-State's not going to take a step forward as a football team. So it is important that they do take that step. So be eager to see the way they come out and perform, but I am optimistic about them and their future coming to the next season.
And shout out to the K-State offensive line coach, Connor Riley, for doing work with that offensive line. So, yep, we got talent coming back on the old line. We have to be excited on the potential on what that group can do going into the upcoming 2021 season. Triple P closing closing thoughts here, real quick here. Before we close things out real quick, former K-Stater here, shout out Tyler Lockett on getting a four-year deal, contract extension, $69.2 million last week there, which includes $37 million guaranteed from last Wednesday there. Obviously, we were in school when Tyler Lockett was here, and he made huge plays out of plays, and he's still doing it with Seattle. He's been a very, very big key piece up there for Pete Carroll's team up there in good old Seattle, Washington. So shout out Tyler Lockett on his latest contract extension. Did you have anything else?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say congrats to Tyler Lockett on that contract. For me, Tyler Lockett, there's a lot of K-State players that are special to me, but I don't know if there's any more special than Tyler, just because Skylar and I came in the same year. We were freshmen the same year at K-State. I had classes with him my very first semester when I was there. I ended up having like 6 or 7 classes with him through my 4 years there. So I ended up in the classroom a lot with Tyler. I don't know what it was, but we had a handful of classes together. I even got to work on a project with him one time. So I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, hey, you know, Tyler's kind of, you know, my guy. Can I take a little credit for that? For your success in Seattle? No, I definitely could not. But I can say, while I did not get to know Tyler on a first name basis, not that cool. I did get to know him enough to where I got to have a few conversations with him, and actually to this day I will stake this claim. I'm sure this is not a working number anymore, Eddie, but Tyler Lockett and I got close enough to where his cell phone number ended up in my phone somehow. I don't know how that happened, but it's in there. Like I said, I'm sure it is not his phone number anymore, because this is back when he was a college kid, but it's my claim to fame.
Interesting.
So, no, he's a great, but it's my point. He's a great great football player, but he's an even better person. And I think that's the most important thing, is that, he doesn't just go out on the field and, perform admirably. He does it off the field. You know, he does it in all aspects of his life. And, those are the ones that you really want to see succeed. He's the type of guy that you're really proud that he's representing your university. You're proud that he's representing your alma mater. And, I saw DK Metcalf tweet out at K-State football this past week telling them that they need to retire the number 16. DK Metcalf called out K-State football telling them it's time to retire number 16 at Kansas State. So, Gene. But it's like I said, to see it happen to such a great guy, somebody who's such a great ambassador for the university is great, and he's obviously part of a family with tons of history at K-State. There's still other Lockett's come up as well, as we know. Sterling Lockett's committed, so.
Yep.
But just great for him. Great for him to see that, and hopefully he can go out and he can ball out these next 4 years, making it, I shouldn't say making it. He's made the thing. He's done it. He's made the name. People know who he is. He's one of the best receivers in the NFL. He may not be a top 5 guy, but he's definitely a top 10, top 15 guy. And he's now reaping the financial compensation of that, which is great to see. So I wish him nothing but the best. So I continue to cheer for him from afar. And then just final things, Eddie, from me, I finished 96th percentile with my bracket in ESPN. As bad as the first two rounds went for me, my Elite Eight and Final Four were pretty accurate. And my Final Four is entirely accurate because, as you know, I had Gonzaga and Baylor in the national championship with Baylor winning.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So I was able to rank up some good points there. So I finished in the 96th percentile, so I was pretty happy about that.
Nice.
But
But no, I just wanted to once again look back and just congratulate the Bears. You mentioned it; they were the better basketball team, and I understand a lot of people were saying, many things about Gonzaga. And Gonzaga was obviously a great basketball team too, but all season long, Baylor really did look like the best team to me in college basketball. And the Big 12 was so good, and they were just beating all these teams with such ease. And the only time that I saw them struggle was whenever they were dealing with any COVID issues. That was really the only time. And I felt like they were fully healthy. I thought they were better than Gonzaga. And I was really in the minority for that because a lot of people got caught up in the Gonzaga hype, rightfully so. Great team. But I think Baylor did show that they're the best team in college basketball this season, which is really what I thought from beginning to end. They were faster. They were stronger. They were more physical. They just have better, I just think they have better athletes out on the court. So I'm glad that they were able to make that statement. And like I said, we'll see if K-State can, maybe use that as some motivation here in the seasons moving forward. But good for them. You mentioned Stanford. Congratulations to them on winning the women's championship. I didn't realize that they hadn't won it since like 92 or something, which I could have sworn they'd won one, but won one.
Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah,
not so. Yeah. Congrats to them for that. That was a great championship game. And March Madness, it never disappoints. It never, ever, ever does. It doesn't matter what the season is, who the teams are. It lives up to the hype every single year. It did it once again this year. Can't wait till we have March Madness next year when the stands are hopefully full again. And we get to see K-State cut down those nets. They get to cut down those nets, Eddie. They'll cut them down next year. They won't cut them down. But I did want to make a joke, though, quickly. K-State just about beat Baylor, right?
Uh-huh.
And K-State played closer with Baylor than anybody in the NCAA tournament. So therefore, if K-State can play a closer game with Gonzaga, K-State's better than Gonzaga. So K-State's essentially the runner-up. I mean, they're essentially the runner-up in the NCAA tournament because they about beat Baylor, and no one in the NCAA tournament could beat Baylor. Gonzaga couldn't even come close to beat Baylor. So therefore, K-State is national champ runner-up. So, congrats, K-State.
Wow.
your close game with Baylor has gotten you. That's obviously just a joke, but
right.
It does. What Baylor did highlights just how impressive what K-State did to end the season against Baylor was. I mean, it really does. It still to this day, I can't wrap my head around the way K-State played Baylor because I didn't feel like Baylor played that bad. And it really, when you see Baylor go into the NCAA tournament like that and just mow teams down, and you see the way K-State played against them to end the season, it's got to make you feel good, Eddie. It's got to make you feel good about what K-State could do next year. Not saying that they're going to be any sort of title contender, because they obviously won't be. They'll be a contender on the bubble, probably. But my point is, it's got to give you some encouragement to see Baylor do that. What they did in the tournament, and to see K-State's season end on the note it did against Baylor. So, I think that loss just continues to look even better and even better for K-State. And, hopefully Bruce Weber can say, look what you did with them. That team just destroyed everyone in the NCAA tournament. And look what you did against them. And I think Bruce can use that all summer. And I think he can use it to try to motivate them and try to get the best out of them as they go through the offseason program. So it'll be interesting to that. Wish Dave Ron Gordon the best of luck at Mizzou. And I think that's it for me, Eddie.
Yeah, yep, that's right. Yep, so yeah, we'll see. Bruce Weber, by the way, here was on the game this past week with John Kurtz, and he talked about getting better. That's all they can do. Use that momentum, get themselves right, get themselves conditions, get work on the little stuff, work on the fundamentals that Bruce Weber's been here for 10 years now. So we'll see what happens.
That's crazy.
We'll see what happens from there. Put a pin on that discussion for now, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wrap for another edition of the Purple Project Podcast. A wrap for episode 50 of the podcast. Appreciate y'all for downloading and listening to us through 50 episodes so far. It includes the little dailies that have been thrown in there for the past probably 2 months now, probably. That's a good estimation there as well. You missed out on any content, or you missed out on any of the older episodes, please go download, check us out wherever you download podcasts as well. We might be playing two this week. Get back to our normal schedule here on Wednesday. We will continue the football talk, and maybe we might do some grades on basketball. I'm not sure yet how that's looking, but I'm sure we'll definitely have something to talk about for sure. And breaking, we'll definitely have it, of course, on the dailies as well. So it's been a good time looking back a little bit and sort of looking forward to K-State football's anticipation of hopefully fuller stands in fall, this fall here in Manhattan, folks. Alex Aiden, Eddie Greer, thank you for listening to the Purple Project Podcast tonight, and this will be out tomorrow night, so you won't have to wait too long. If you are downloading already, appreciate y'all for downloading it. Cap fans and alumni, appreciate y'all. So Alex, we'll do this again probably in a couple of days.
Sounds forward to it. Wow, I'll see if I can speak again. Sounds good, Eddie. I look forward to it.
All right, sir.
Are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.